is doing well on this Sunday morning. We got some rain yesterday. It's just been gloomy, but definitely hope everybody's been doing good, taking care of themselves, staying warm. I know a lot of people are preparing for the Super Bowl today. I know there are GOAT haters on the line here. I will pray for you. Just want everybody just to know that, man, so glad to see all of you here this morning for this service as we have been going through Genesis. And actually, this morning, we're going to start over in Genesis chapter 12. This morning, we're going to kind of do a recap. It's going to be a brief recap of just some things. But, you know, I want to just, while you guys are getting there, of course, I want to share some thoughts and stuff. I love just, you know, reading God's Word. I love meditating on the Word of God. Just being reflective of what I read, definitely trying to understand what it is that I'm reading, and so that I can translate it correctly and properly. But I also love just communing with the Holy Spirit as I'm thinking about God's Word, just looking at what's happening in people's lives in the Bible and during the time that they live, and in that time when God said, hey, I'm going to start in this generation. You know, I think about what if God would have started right now in our generation. You know, picking a family, you know, like, hey, I'm going to start with this family, and this family is who I'm going to choose to go into the world, and they're going to be the beginning of the promise going forward. You know, that promise, guys, like, with this promise, guess what? You're going to become a very, very big nation. That's right. There's going to be some fruit bearing involved, you know, and I thought about this, like, God, he's going to, you know, man, make them numerous as the stars in the skies, you know, or as numerous as the sands on the beach. And God said, The number's going to be so great that we won't be able to count them, but he can keep counting. God, like, I know what this is. And I thought, man, who would want to take that undertaking? You know, who would be like, all right, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go do it. And all you know is that you're leaving based on a promise. You have no other details. You have no other information. I just need you to go. That's all I need you to do. And I thought, man, would I want to be that candidate? That family, that person that he chose to say, hey, I go, not knowing where I'm going. All I know is the only purpose I'm going is that you want to just multiply me. And you think about our human thoughts like, okay, he's going to make me big. That means this may happen in a year. This Sunday may meet a lot of people. We're going to have 1,000 people meet. But we know God's plan is long-standing. I mean, God's like, you're thinking short-term. This is a long-term plan. I'm going to work. And I'm going to weave you just like a spider weaves a web, or like somebody's doing crochet or so and so. I'm going to weave you through all these communities, and people are going to know you that I am with you as I'm weaving you through all these communities. But also, God's like, and by the way, you can come as you are, but just know you can't stay as you are. And so, while I'm weaving you through these communities, there are going to be points in your life that you're going to have some growth spurts. God said, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. You and I are going to learn to grow together. That's right. No, you're going to get on God's level, not God get on your level. For God knows who you are and he created you. And I thought, wow, would I really want to be the first family of faith? And while I'm thinking about that, the Spirit said, well, you know, actually, Sydney, if you want to be this biblically correct, maybe Noah was actually the first family of faith, because it took him agreeing with God to say, okay, for 100 years, I'm actually going to stick with this while we build a boat in a place where it's never rained, and I'm going to just endure persecution for 100 years. And by the way, during that time, I'm going to fall off and fall into a drunken state for a little bit because, man, this is just rough mental. I think about these things and the people who God chose. I think about their response. They had an opportunity to quit, to give up, and to move on away from it, but they stuck with it. They stuck with it in spite of their own character flaws, in spite of their own behavior. They weathered through it. They never let go. And this is something just to recap a little bit about all the families, you know, just we're pretty much Abraham, Isaac, and just Jacob. And just some things we're going to learn from them, you know. But one of the things going forward, we have to understand that our God is the original radical being for life. He is. He is the original radical being for life. God loved life that so much. He loved life so much. He's fired up about life. He wants to preserve life. And the life that he's trying to preserve and the life that he's radical about is ours. Is ours. he just chose to start with Abraham then and say, okay, we're going to start from the drawing board again. I used Moses to clean the board. We're going to start from the drawing board. You know, God hungers for fruit. I should say he hungered for fruit beyond the angels in himself. Remember, God had already had a bunch of created beings that he could have stuck with, but he desired more. That should be a great feeling to us, that God said, you know what, I desire more fruit. I desire more creation. And he just didn't create us and say, oh, well, hope you guys do well. But he created us and said, no. No, we've got to win the hearts back over. Because God's seen what this world has done to us. He's seen what the involvement of angels who got involved done to us, their influences. And God said, no, you got to win my creation back over to me because they belong to me. He hungered for fruit beyond himself and the angels. Question as we're going to go forward and read over in Genesis 12. Do you hunger for fruit beyond you? There has to be a hunger. You have to be like God. You have to have a hunger to see things beyond you. You know, God hungered so much that he reached out. Ain't that something? He reached out. He shared his faith with his creation. Who at the time was named Abram. He shared his faith with him. He said, man, here's what's going to happen. Here's a part of my vision. And here's how it needs to happen. Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, the Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. He says, I will take you into a, I will make you into a great generation, a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Wow. It says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Wow, what a plan. I love Abram's attitude. The Lord said, hey, look, I need you to leave this land. I want you to set out. And I love the way the Bible presents and how God wants us to see it is that he just obeyed and went. He just obeyed and went. In the land I'm going to show you, he just obeyed and went. And he gives them all these great promises about, you know, I'm going to make it to a great nation. You know what he says? I'm going to bless you. The whole earth will be blessed through you. You know what I'm saying? He says, not saying just a certain amount of group, but this plan that God had meant to involve every being that was created on earth. Ain't that something? He said the whole nation of earth is created. He had asked yourself, are you willing to move about for the Lord? Think about that. In Jackson, in the metro area, we're pushing close to 500,000 people. They're steady building in different areas. The city's trying to improve in spite of all the difficulties that it deals with and all the, the division that it has. Just even with the state and other counties around it. But the city is still trying to push forward and grow. You know, they've had some great milestones in the past, you know. Hey, Deion Sanders is here. That has really amped up a lot for that campus, really pushed it up. But not only for the campus, but for all the other cities and businesses around. It has really turned it up. And everyone's like, man, I want to be a part of this. Fondren is steady growing. They're steady building some things here, building some things there. They are growing. The city is excited about that. But not only the city of Jackson, but the communities around it. You're talking about Rankin County and Madison County. You know, when you hire big name people to come in, they'll bring some of their big name friends with them. You know, and when their big name friends get here, they tend to look at the city like we look at it and say, man, there's some things that can be done. But in order for me to understand what the city needs, I'm going to have to move about and around through the community so that they know I'm here, so that I can see what impact and what I can do in my community. You know, are you willing to move about for the Lord? Many people move about for many things, for money, for job, for friends. But you and I were called to move about in our community for the Lord. We want to impact the soul and save the soul. You know, I want to share a story here. You know, and I listen to all you guys all the time. I think, wow, that's amazing, you know. Just recently, me and Scott was talking. I love talking to Scott. You know, we just talking. And Scott's like, hey, what's the big deal? No problems. Don't worry. You know, life is good. That's what I take the scout and talk to him like, hey, no worry. Don't worry about it. Whatever. wife, Julia, and we were stopping at night, and he was just sharing about Julia and how she was going around her neighborhood. She baked cookies, and then going to the neighborhood and just knocking door to door, introducing stuff. And from that, what's amazing is he got some great cheap dim to work. And I thought, wow, I need to go bake some cookies and knock on the door. Because I find somebody to do a dim to work. But I was inspired about that example, you know, and he was inspired about it. He didn't say, hey, I'm going around doing it. He said, this is something that my wife's doing. Like, That's all right. You know, but I love the fact that she moved around. That was something on her heart. That's something. I know that Julia is very relational. I know that's something that she likes, and I think it's great. And so she's like, hey, so let me bake some cookies. Ain't nobody gonna turn down no treats. They turn down some cookies, something wrong, you know. But I was inspired about that example of moving about in the community. You know, I look at Gloria too, you know. Gloria's job carries her everywhere, you know, not only just for business, but it puts her directly in the community. She meets all kinds of people who have needs. But from Gloria's point and perspective is, she has to deal with difficult business people sometimes to get things done. But I love her perseverance to push through that, to say, we need to make something happen. Yes, Gloria to me reminds me that she has that attitude, like, we need to make it happen today, but she has the patience to say, it will happen. I'm going to pray more about me so I don't scream nobody, but it will happen. We will go for it. These are things that I see on a whole bunch of you guys. I'm always trying to pay attention to you, and that's not showing me what am I seeing with the gems that we have here in the church. Guys, are you willing to move about, you know, for the Lord in your community? Do you believe that you are a part of God's plan to become a great nation? Mm-hmm. You have to believe that. You have to believe that with every fiber in your body. If you do not believe that you are part of God's plan, God's promise to become a great nation, then it won't happen on your watch. It just won't. Abraham had to believe that in order for him to get up and leave, take his wife, his nephew, and all his possessions. He had to buy in to God's plan that God was going to bless him and that God was going to make him a very fruitful and great nation. Are you buying into God's plan that we can do? You know, will you allow God to show you something new? As we get older, we get comfortable. As we get older, we tend to want to get settled. We want to be like, ah, this is good. I don't want to do no more. But are you willing to allow God to show you something new? Abraham was. At 75 years old. I know sometimes we think, was he really 75? You know. But that was a different generation. That was a different time. They were living longer. But God's like, man, I'm going to show you something new. Are you open to allow God to show you something new, no matter what your age is? I was sharing with the brothers, like, man, I got so much fire in me, man. I want to just go, go, go. So my prayer is, God, show me how to move about without killing myself. Don't want to kill me and make me ill and sick. But I want to go. I said, brother, you know, and he was sharing me. He said, you know, brother, a lot of these other brothers are old. A lot of these other leaders are 70, you know. They're kind of, you know, just kind of getting settled down, you know. And he said, that's a lot of times where you see some of the struggles, you know, within our movement right now. Because a lot of our leaders, they're in their 70s and their 60s. And they're getting slow and settled. But I said, I understand that. And I said, I know the body gets old. And I know the body goes through transition, but the mind is the same. The mind can stay fired up. The heart can stay fired up. That's a decision I have to make to say, I want to continuously be driven to get at it. Do you want to be driven to get at it? Is it your heart and your mind? Is that where your soul feels? You know, are you open to allowing God to show you something new? You know, everything that you will go through will be a learning experience. We all can attest to that. Everything that we have gone through has been a learning experience, and guess what? We still have some more learning to do. It is all meant for growth, believe it or not, all meant for growth, just like we see the logo on the screen now. Learn, grow, and go. That's just a part of life. We're going to continuously learn, grow, and go, but you have to want to continue. You have to want to continue to grow, and you have to be like, okay, God, I am still willing to go, to get after, to be involved, to be engaged. I want to be like Abraham. If you say, look, get up, go to this place here, I'm going to go. Yes, we tend to want more details, but we need to be like Abraham. All I know is he made a whole bunch of promises. We'll see what happens as I go in that direction with God. You know, allow God to make you a great nation. You just got to That's going to mean you being involved with the community. That's going to mean you being weaved through all this community. Just like Abraham went through Egypt. And so he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. He dealt with a lot of other communities too. But you remember when he had to bury his wife, they had so much respect for him, they wanted to give him a tomb. You know, so they did like, no, you got to pay us nothing. But Abraham refused to allow them to give it to him. But he was so entrenched in his community that he was a well-respected man of God. He was a well-respected individual in the community. You know, if you, it says, you know, if you go for the Lord, if you answer his call, he will make you a blessing to everybody else. Wow. He'll make you a blessing to everybody else. I really heard that blessing. Scott shared a story about Judah. She was a blessing to other people, and that blessing came back. That's an example. That blessing came back. You know, this church was a blessing as Gloria, you know, organized meals for certain family. And even Nora, who had a family picked out, you know, we were a blessing to people. And that blessing comes back. You know, I think about Christopher on campus. You know, those are many challenges. He's a blessing to this church. He really is. You know, and on his freshman year, but his second year, God gave him someone, you know, and Lance, you know. And then God has moved Christopher up to lead a Bible talk on this campus. God has made Christopher very recognizable on this campus to where his peers are asking him to get involved with leadership roles. I remember telling Christopher, that's awesome. Be sure to write that on your resume. Be sure to write that, boy, as the future go, people are going to look at that. They're not going to look at that you got a degree. Okay, so you got a degree, but what else did you do in college? They're going to look at, man, you had leadership-type characteristics long before you got out of college. That's going to help. You know, we can be a blessing to other people in our lives. A lot of us, blessings. You know, what an inspirational way to prepare for your journey. Think about Abraham. Man, God said go, he went. God told me it'd be a blessing. God said if anybody curse you, I'll curse them. Basically, if anybody tries to harm you, I'm going to harm them. That is awesome. And he said, guess what? The journey that you're on is not just going to be, it's not just going to affect the people immediately around you, but it's for all the earth. For all the earth. You know, Abraham, who we call the father of faith, he took a leap of faith, knowing only what God promised. Is that still your heart? Is that still your mind? Is you still willing to take leaps of faith, only knowing what God is promising to you, or what he has promised? Are you still that person who's like, I'm going to take a leap of faith. I don't actually know where I'm going to land, but I'm taking a leap of faith based on the promises of God. Is that you? When you set it in your heart and mind to go reach out to people, do you take that leap of faith and say, I go? I don't know if I'm going to get a phone number. I don't know if I'm going to impact somebody. I don't know if somebody's going to tell me to go off. I don't know if somebody's going to give me the whole list of bishop so-and-so, elder so-and-so, deacon so-and-so, preacher. I just don't know. But I'm going to take a leap of faith. And I'm going to follow God out into the community. Because I understand the seeds that I plant today, guess what? It's going to filter throughout the whole word of mouth. It's going to make it happen. Will you take a leap of faith every day and go into your community? That's the question. That's for all of us, starting with me. Will you take a leap of faith every day and go out to the community for the purpose of just bearing some fruit, living out the promise, being a part of the community, and bringing God to others? People need God. People need God. I don't care if they are religious, have a religious shell, or they don't know God. People need God. Most of them know it. Some of them don't. But you and I know that everybody needs God. We need to be like Abraham. We need to go. Just obey God and just go. Guys, point two, we're going to be of still in Genesis 12, but we're going to go down to verse 12 and 13. But we talk about mistakes and consequences. Oh, God. I don't know about you guys, but you know, when I make a mistake, I'm not eager to answer for it, I should say. Depending on what the mistake is. Some mistakes are like, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. But then there's some other mistakes are like, oh, I really do not want to face the music. I do not want to have to deal with this. But, you know, in our life, you know, we have mistakes that we've made, and there are consequences we have to deal with. You know, in Abraham's journey to become a great nation, as numerous as the stars in the skies and the sands on the beach, which are too numerous to count for you and I, but God can count them. Man, he made some mistakes along the way. Just in life, general, he made some mistakes along the way. Looking at verses 12. So, of course, this is what Abraham's going into the land of Egypt. And because he feared so much of his life, feared for so much of his life, and this is an early point in his relationship with God, and not really understanding what it means to trust God, he tells his wife, you need to tell these people that you are my sister. You know, but if I tell you my wife, they're going to kill me, you know, and it's looking like, man, wow, this is the first learning point in his relationship with God of trust. And it says in verse 12, it says, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sisters, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. You know, as human beings, when fear kick in, we get very creative. We start thinking outside the box real quick. How can I outmaneuver this? How can I outthink this individual? How can I outsmart them? How can I outwit them? We get to thinking that way. But, you know, a lot of times when we're in situations, we just need to trust God. We need to rely on where it says, be still and know that I am the Lord. And that's easier said than done a lot of times. Just so much easier said than done. And I put it this way. We tell people, it's easy to tell somebody else. But when it's our time of testing and we got to live that scripture in our life, you're like, oh, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I just believe I need to take some control. I need to put hands on. That's how we do. And that's how we end up making a lot of mistakes. And that's how we end up getting into trouble. You know, not trusting God, you know, Abraham, you know, having Sarai agree to be his wife in Egypt, he did this out of fear for his life. You know, compromising on convictions is just a learning experience. It's a learning experience, and it can bite us. We got to learn to stand firm. We got to learn to trust. When you stand out on a plank, and you know that there's only one way down, no way back, you really have got to trust God, you know. And this mistake, when he did it, of course, God got involved. God intervened. But God was showing grace, trying to work with Abraham, showing him how to learn through this mistake. Of course, he knew he made it again, but it's helping him to learn. Secondly, looking over in chapter 16, still going with Abraham's mistake and consequences, Sarah's old, can't have no children. She's got all these other people that she owns, Egyptian slaves, that she owns around her and everything. And so she comes up with this crazy idea. She comes up with this crazy idea that you need to sleep with one of my servants. It's easy to say that women of the day wouldn't do that. They, you know, they're married, they would not allow their husbands to sleep with other people. But I'm telling you, I've seen Stranger Things. There's documentaries. And they were just, they called spycraft. And they were just talking about this spying throughout the world, every nation that spies. It specifically focused on America, Russia, Britain, UK, I think most of them, and China a little bit. And you start thinking like, how can they think outside the box like this? I'm telling you something, when you get fearful, you don't think straight. In America, they designed a bullet that they would shoot from long range into a wall. And inside the bullet, they had a radio transmitter. And it would be lodged in the wall. And so whenever you would talk, it would catch all your conversation. And then somebody would walk by later on with a radio transmitter receiver. And they would get it. It would catch your voice, store it, everything you said. But then I was like, who thinks of that stuff? Who thinks of that? They're shooting a bullet into a wall. This is a record. They show where they had false bottoms on shoes. They said a lot of stuff you see in the James Bond movies. America and Russia came up with all these ideas. And they would do these things to record. Listen, you would never think about it. And I thought, wow. You know, just the things we think of. Just thinking outside the box. You know, Sarah, because she was frustrated with the fact that she could not have a child at the time when she wanted to have a child. Guess what? Don't sleep with my slave. Well, once Abraham did that, it caused tension in the relationship. And when it caused tension in a relationship, all of a sudden, it's Abraham's fault. But truly it was, because he was the head of the household. And he could have made a decision to say, no, no matter how you are feeling, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold steady. God's going to provide. We're going to be faithful. That caused a lot of issues. But, you know, he learns from those mistakes, and he learned through his consequences. You know, compromising on his convention, sleeping with Sarai's slave, Hagar, which brought heartache to all and bitterness into the family. And we see that as it went on, as Ishmael never got over the fact that Abraham put out him and his mother, Hagar and Ishmael, when he was only 14. It's hard. It's hard. You know, your journey, you know, you're going to learn. You're going to learn from your mistakes. You will learn from the mistakes that you make in life. But you have to grow from it. You cannot let your mistakes stagger you, keep you stuck. You can't dwell on them. You've got to move forward. You have really got to persevere through them. You know, your journey with God requires absolute trust in God. You must grow out of fear of the world and abandon a compromising spirit. Once again, you got to grow out of fear of the world, and you have to abandon that compromising spirit that tends to want to raise up sometimes. You know, you got to stand strong on God's word, which strengthens your beliefs. You will make mistakes. You have made mistakes. But in spite of all your mistakes and the consequences that came with them, be like Abraham. Pick up yourself. Brush off yourself and move forward on your journey. Don't get stuck. Move forward on your journey. The promise is still alive, and God desires a fruitful nation that cannot be counted by you and I. Finally, guys, we're going to close out here with come as you are. So I'm looking at Abraham and his family. Of course, you know, Isaac was more different. Isaac really never took a lot of control and charge in his family. You know, his wife loved one son more, and Abraham loved another son more. And out of those two boys, you know, Jacob was known as a deceiver. You know, he's born, he was deceptive, you know, but his mother had that trait also. But, you know, God took Abraham as he was, flaws and all. Ain't that something? Flaws and all. He took him, flaws and all. God continues to work with and through that family tree, flaws and all. So glad God doesn't give up on us. Flaws and all. You know, like that first family, as we call it, the first family of faith, you can come as you are. You can come as you are. But you are not allowed to stay as you are. That's the one mistake that everybody falls into. We love that. Man, just come as you are. Amen. But you can't stay as you are. When you go to a job and you bring certain skill sets, they're glad to have you and your skill sets, whether it is backed up with a college degree or you just some guy with a trade who walked up on the street. But guess what? The company's again, we want to incorporate that within the company structure. We want that to fall in line with what we're doing, because we believe that what you bring to the table is useful. Bring it all. But you have to learn to comply. You have to learn to conform. God says, come as you are, but you have to learn to conform to the way of God and the way God thinks. You know, you must learn, grow, and go. Just turn over to Genesis chapter 28, guys, as we finish up here. Genesis 28. Starting in verse 10. Read it there. Verse 10. Genesis 28, verse 10. And this is about Jacob. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. It says, taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heavens. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land for which you are living. Your descendants will be like dust of the air, And you were spread out to the west and east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth, that means all peoples on earth, will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Come as you are. But God's got plans for you. The same promises he uttered to Jacob, he uttered to Abraham two generations ago. Ain't that something? And he said, guess what? I'm not going to leave you until the job is done. I love that when I think about Matthew, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, when he says, you know, remember, I am always with you to the very end of the age. I love that. God keeps his promises regardless of your character and behavior. You remember Jacob's behavior, the great deceiver. He stole the promise. He stole the blessing. But God foreknew that and God foresaw that that was going to happen. You know, if God has chosen to involve you in his plan to save the nation, he will honor his word until the plan is completed. That's what he says, I'm with you to the very end. You know, but while God is working on the plan, you and I have to realize he is also working on you for the future. You see, he's working on the promise for the future, but he's working on you also for the future. Because you see, he wants you to be there in the very end. The promise is complete. That means you're going to have to change. That means you're going to have to grow. That means you're going to have to what? Work through some things, mature through some things. You're going to trust God and rely on God, lean on God. You see, he said the promise is not only for Jacob, but for his descendants that follow. He also says all the people of earth. So it's just not meant for this little knit community, or this little knit small church you have. It's meant for everybody. You know, God knows that Jacob could be deceptive. Ain't this something? He knew that Jacob could be deceptive. He knew that Jacob was a deceiver. And it's amazing as it was shared back in one of the lessons about how God allowed Jacob to experience what it is like to be deceived. The one thing that I thought about when I thought about that, I thought about Batman, The Dark Knight Rises. When Batman and Catwoman are having a conversation and all of a sudden he disappears and Batman turns around and says, that's what that feels like. I can imagine Jacob was like, this is what this feels like to deceive people and you're on the other end, the receiving end. No, he allowed Jacob to experience what it is like to be deceived. You know? God wants you to be a part of the promise. The promise to multiply so that others will know what salvation is. But God also wants you to continuously change and grow. He wants you to learn from your bad decisions, your bad interaction with others. He wants you to abandon your worldly lifestyle. God wants a nation of godly men and women who want to learn, who want to grow, and who want to go. The promise is not stagnant. That's what we need to understand. The promise that God has made is not stagnant like stale water. No, that's not the promise. The promise is not, well, I'm just going to wait and see what God does. No, that's not the promise. Abraham had to go. Isaac had to continue to move, even though he didn't move around as much as his father and his son, but he had to move around. Jacob definitely moved around a lot, trying to find himself while being a part of God's plan to administer the promise to the world. You know, the promise is not God owes me. He doesn't owe you nothing. He doesn't owe you nothing. I reflect back to over in Job chapter 38, I think it's verse 7, when God says, who is this that darkens my counsel? Stand up and brace yourself like a man. You know, basically, like, we got to talk. I think that when I was a little boy, and I remember, I'm still a little boy, I was 16, and I remember raising up against my mom thinking I'm a man and I'm ready to do something. My dad was a drill sergeant in the Army at the time. My mom told my dad came home. We lived in on an Army base. I was upstairs. My stairs was curved. And I remember my dad at the bottom stairs says, get down here. And I'm standing at the stairs like I'm fucking tough, make me. And then this is true, but all I can tell you, I can remember was, I just don't remember touching those stairs, but I did get to the bottom. I don't, you know, hey, to this day, I got to the bottom. And my dad put me up against a wall in the dining room, and my mom was sitting at the table, And my dad had his Graham, his Drill Sergeant Graham up on my head. And he says, you think you're a man, we can go out in the yard and handle this right now. And I was up against the wall. And as a young man, you think you're trying to be bad, but it was more fear than bad. I had my fist balled up in there, more fear than bad. And I remember my mom in the background looking at her like, you can bail me out anytime. You can bail me, you can save me anytime you get ready. You know, because she had that fear, fear in her face like, well, he can kill this boy. He gonna kill him. But to me, I'm reminded when I think of that scripture, it's like, brace yourself like a man. My dad was like, pretty much like that. Okay, brace yourself like a man. You want to be a man in my house? Brace yourself like a man. And so I just remember those moments, you know. And so, you know, God owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. That's what the promise is. But the promise is, God. But the promise is that God is doing his part, so we need to do our part. And what does our part look like? We need to listen and obey. Man, we need to continue to practice on that and perfect that going forward. We need to follow and go. We just need to like, Lord, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to go. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how this is going to unfold. All I know is you promised that, hey, guess what? You're going to bless me and that you're going to disperse me throughout the whole nation through earth. We need to trust and not fear. Abraham struggled with that, but God worked with him with that and helped him to overcome that. We need to trust people. Man, we need to be faithful and not doubt. Sarah and Abraham both had struggles with doubting that they were going to have a child. But we need a faithful, we need to be faithful and not doubt. We need to persevere and don't quit. It's so easy, man. I guarantee on this line right now, there's plenty of us in our private talks and our private conversation that we felt like, I'm just done. I don't want no more. I'm just done. But God said, nope, nope, nope. In this promise, you got to do your part. You have to persevere and don't quit. We need to endure. Who really wants to endure pain and agony and torture? Who really wants to endure uncertainty? Who really wants to endure just the actions of other people that you cannot change? You know, you feel sometimes, I just really want to choke you out. I just want to grab you and choke you, but I know that's not the godly thing. But I'm just being honest. I just want to choke you out. I feel if I choke you out, that'll make you better and I'll be resolved. I'll be at peace. That's how we feel like, you know, God say, nah, that's not the way. I know what you want to do, but that's not the way. But no, God said, you just got to endure. Endure means I'm going to have to pray a lot. Not praying for you, I'm praying for me so that I don't choke you out. That's why I got to pray for me. You know, I got to pray and don't give up. You have to endure. You have to learn and grow. I don't care if you turn 99. I don't care if God says, you know what? You're the lucky person out of all the billions of people I've ever created. You're going to hang around for 90 years. You need to constantly have a mindset, a heart set, a soul set that says, I want to continuously learn. Learn and grow. Man, you have to plant and water. You've got to plant and water. Let me tell you something about planting water. On your job. To be effective on your job, to be effective with the customers that you deal with, to be effective in school, to be effective in life, you are constantly always having to plant seeds. For your job, you're planting seeds of positivity. You plant seeds that make customers come back. We call them return customers, return clients, that come back to let them know, we got you. You're planting seeds of trust, seeds of confidence. You're wanting them to know, we're going to take care of you. That's what you do on your job. In your school, you're planting seeds of that. Guess what? I'm a great student. I'm not perfect. But I'm a great student, and I'm going to put the work in, and I'm going to strive at the work. Hey, if I make a C this time, I'm going to work harder to make an A. Teachers and professors, they look at the seeds that you plant that make them say, I think Chris is worth, you know, hey, raising him up to do something. I think Tevin is worth raising him up to do something. Yeah, look at that. We have to plant seed, and then we have to water that seed by putting in the work all the time. Sometimes we can just do one thing, and you get a pat on the back, and you're like, I have arrived. No, it don't work like that. We're glad you did that one thing, but we have more work for you to do on the job, more work for you to do in the classroom, more work for you to do on the track field, more work for you to do on the football field, more work for you to do in life. It doesn't work like that. One pat on the back does not mean you have arrived. It just means that, hey, we're going to encourage you, but you still need to plant water. We still got to get out there, still got to do it. Man, you need to do your part, but not being selfish, but being a giver. Why do I have to give to people all the time? I give enough as it is. You have to be a giver and not be selfish. And God points out those opportune times for you to give, believe it or not. You're not meant to give in every situation. You're not meant to give to every cause. You're not meant to give to every person. You're not meant to give to every opportunity that presents itself. But in a lot of opportunities, in a lot of causes, God puts it strictly in your heart to say, hey, this is you. You need to give and don't be selfish. You really need to do that. You know, God's family, you need to bear fruit. You need to be a part of God's plan to save a soul. You just do. You need to bear some fruit, be a part of God's plans to save some souls. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were on the beginning of the promise. And God told them, from you guys, God planned in life, you guys are going to be the beginning of going through the whole nation. Who knows what that bloodline is? Who knows? God could have said, all of you are guys are related. Yeah, the bloodline thinned out along the way, but are you related? We need to bear fruit and save a soul. Can we all save all souls? No, God's made that clear. But can we save a soul? Yes, we can, as long as we stay in connection and in contact and in tune and in touch with the promise of God. We can't do that. Abraham at any time could have abandoned the promise and given up. Isaac could have abandoned the promise at any time and given up. Jacob could have abandoned the promise at any time and given up. But God has a way of intervening and reminding us, no, we're not done. I still have work for you to do. You still are a part of my plan to reach the whole earth. You still are a part of my plan to be a great nation. You would have thought that the nation would have been reached during Abraham's day. But you know, in the New Testament, Paul comes along. Paul says, I have reached the whole earth as far as what he knew. That's what Paul said, as far as what he knew. People are coming and going every day in this world. They're coming and going every day in this world. That's why it's so important for us to reach people during our generation. We need to reach people during our generation. When the work is finally done, God will let us know whether we'll be here or whether we're in heaven or whether we're standing before the throne waiting for our turn to sit down and talk with God about how we did in life. We need to make a decision every day to come to God as we are. We just do every day as we are. You know, with the expectation that we must change. If we want to be a part of the promise going forward, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to obey and comply with God. We're going to have to allow ourselves to be stretched. You know, guys, we look at many things with this family here, and I love the fact that we look at the practicals of this family, just how they just blew it in so many areas, and they do right. But God said, this is still my family, who I will inject into the world. And man, they will be the seed planters that I will continue to plant and water. And they will become a great nation in this world that would infect other people, win other people over, and help people all around the world to become part of the promise. Guys, let's learn from them. Let's learn from them. Let's learn from Abraham. Let's learn from Isaac. Let's learn from Jacob. But most of all, let's learn from God, who had this radical vision, and he still has this radical vision to say, guess what? We need to win people over. I need to inject you into the population. I need to inject you into the community. Let's grab hold of God's vision to make disciples. Let's grab hold of God's vision to be in our community. Let's grab hold of God's vision to live out the promise and do our part. Guys, to God be the glory. Thank you so much for your ears this morning.